chapter number 6, verse number 1 said, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" Verse number 2 says, "God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. And henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." If correctly read, that's Romans chapter number 6. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the word of God that we have before us. I pray, Lord, that tonight not only would the word of God be before us, but Lord, it would be in us. God, that you would help us through your precious word tonight. Father, I know tonight, Lord, some things may be said that might be a little bit hard, Lord, to understand, maybe hard to swallow. But Father, they're right here in front of us tonight. I pray, Father, tonight you'd speak to our hearts. Make us more like your darling son. I pray, God, that you'd help us to come to a place, Lord, where, Lord, we could hate sin. Hate it, Lord, with a passion, realizing our Father what sin cost. And I pray, Father, that you would help us tonight, Lord, to glean truth that would transform our lives. Lord, we love you tonight. Save the lost. Strengthen your children. Lord, there may be somebody going down tonight. Lord, throw out the lifeline. May they take hold by faith, Lord, and come to thee. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to look tonight. I really don't have a title. We might just title it Romans 6. If you're going to put it on the internet, put it on the CDs, Brother Richard, that you put out. But tonight I'm going to look at some things that I believe are needful. He began to speak to my heart, and I thought I would preach out of this passage with the baptismal service this morning. And then I looked at it and I began to chew on it, and it just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and I'm not sure I can even spit it out tonight. Amen. All that God has put in my heart. But I want to try to tonight to give you some things will help us along the way. If you'll notice tonight, when you're coming out of chapter number 5, the Bible said here, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I don't know of anybody that don't like that text. Amen. I'm glad where sin abounded. Brother Anthony, the message lines up wonderfully with the song, or vice versa. Where sin abounded, God, my friend, has let grace much more abound in our lives. I want to give you something tonight that I never paid any attention to. I talked to Brother Long today, and I asked him about this, and I don't think he had really caught it. But the word sin, you might think this is kind of odd, but the word sin is used 17 times in 16 verses in Romans chapter number 6. And it really would seem a little bit odd, because we've just come out of Romans 3, 4, and 5, where you see the redemption of the sinner by the grace of God. That's what you see. Redemption is by grace through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then you come into a chapter where sin. I'm going to look at the verses here. There's 17 times the word sin is used in these phrases. Look at Romans 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? In my studies, it looks like that because they've, over there in chapter number 5, they've learned about the grace of God. They've learned about the free gift. They've learned about salvation that is of the Lord. And it looks like, well, they're saying, well, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So we'll sin some more and get some more grace. And Paul comes on the scene. And he says, that's not right. He said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And he's going to teach us some things about sin in this chapter, amen, that have really helped me as in my studies. And I pray that it'll help you. He asked a question. Shall we continue in sin? And then he answers the question. God forbid. He said, no, that's not the way this thing is designed, amen. Let me just say something to you. As somebody said one time, Brother Larry, you could identify with this. You used to pastor a Free Will Baptist church. Somebody said the free wills preach backsliding and the independents practice it. Amen. Think about that for just a minute. Amen. Now, we don't believe that we're ever going to be lost after that we've been saved. But I'm going to tell you something right now. The grace of God is not a license to sin. It never has been and it never will be. And that's what Paul's getting at right here. He said, shall we continue? Oh, no. 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 We can't continue in sin. He said, God forbid. Now, he said, how shall we that are, here's that little phrase, continue in sin. Here's the next phrase, dead to sin. How are we that are dead to sin going to live any longer therein? Boy, there's truths here that I don't know if I can get them out tonight. Romans 6:6. Look at the next time. Here it's used twice. He said, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he, verse 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Verse 10, for in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Look at verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. In other words,
That's what that baptism is pictured. Hey, I'm taking, listen, God at His word that my sin is taken care of at Calvary. And it's not to get up from there, amen, and go see how much more we can sin. But it's saying, hey, I want to walk in a different way. I want to walk in the newness of life with Him. I said this over and over and over and over in prison. And I told my precious daughter the same thing after she was saved. She got hammered on every side that first week after she trusted Christ as her Savior. She got punched every time she turned around by old Slewfoot trying to turn her back. I told my daughter this. I said, honey, listen, God just wiped the chalkboard of your life sparkling clean. Anybody ever clean the chalkboards in school? I like to do it. It got you out of class. Amen. I like to go outside. I clap them erasers. Amen. I'd clap them till Jesus come and let me. Amen. I didn't want to go back in that class. But listen, when we get saved, God wipes the slate clean. Amen. He washes it perfect in His blood. And then we need to be careful what we write on the board from there on out. But thank God He still has an eraser. Amen. When we sin, He said, well, let me just give you this. Let me give you, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. But if we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Amen. I'm going to make a statement right here. I'm just getting started. Don't get nervous. Amen. The Lord's helping me. He's helping me. You know what the Lord's doing in my life? He's running me plumb out of excuses. That's what we do. Amen. We just excuse it. Amen. Well, you know, Lord. No, He don't know. What He knows is He died at Calvary's tree so that we could die with Him and get up and walk in the newness of life. That's what He knows. Watch this. The Bible said here, likewise reckon yourselves, ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto the sin. Look at verse number 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Every time I read that verse, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. You know, all the sins wrapped up in three little things. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Yeah, it'll be one of them three. Amen. I'll never forget years ago, if I can think of his name, Brother Gene Lassley. I'll give him credit. I'll give anybody credit if I can remember their name. Amen. Brother Gene said to me, he said, preacher, he said, in the ministry, he said, if you can preach a lick, you can make it. If you'll keep your hands clean in two areas. He said, money and women. He said, if you'll keep your hands and your heart clean in them two areas, he said, you can make it in the ministry if you can preach a lick. I'm going to tell you something. He told the truth. You just get to studying about men going down and see how they're going down and what's causing them to go down. Amen. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You know what the pride of life is? That's saying I can get by with it. We get to believe in Romans chapter 6. You'll be just like pastor. You'll run plumb out of excuses. You'll run plumb out of ground. Amen. And you'll run to Him. Watch what the Word of God said right here. He said, neither yield your members. He said, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal. I'm going to give you something right here. So one old preacher said it like this. He said, I can't keep the birds from flying over my head. How many of you have at times some ungodly thought processes that go on between your ears? Anybody besides me? I'm talking about pure wickedness. And a lot of us that fight that battle is because of how we've sown in our past life. That's why we don't want our teenagers and our children. We don't want to just tell them, go sow your wild oats. I tell you what, you'll reap them. God can forgive a man that's sown wild oats. But I'll tell you what, it does not erase the memories, and it does not erase what's going on in his mind. Oh, beloved friend, we can't keep the birds from flying over my head. But I tell you what I can do. It's about time for Miss Eve to go by them ferns again. I'll tell you what, I love that woman. But I would to God she'd go by some of them fake ferns, hang them up one time, wash them once a year, amen, forget about it. She goes out there every spring and gets them real ferns. I bet we've spent enough money to buy a house, amen, on on ferns and fertilizer to fertilize them. For you ladies are sympathizing with her, amen. You're fixing to sin. You're getting on a preacher right now, amen. No, she said, I don't like them fake ferns. Well, I tell you what, tell you the truth, I don't either. I enjoy watching them. But here's what I've noticed about my wife. She'll see them birds building a nest in there. Well, she don't want to hurt them birds. So she just keeps stirring them up until they go somewhere else and build their nest. Amen? She just keeps stirring them up. He said, preacher, what do you do with all that mess? You better keep stirring it up. Don't let it build a nest in there. Amen? You let it build a nest in there, and my friend, it'll hurt you. Don't let sin reign in your mortal body. Look at verse 13. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. The Bible said in verse 14, sin shall not have dominion over you. What then? Verse number 15. Here's another question. Shall we sin because that we're not under the law but under grace? Little different question. Same answer. God forbid. God forbid. Never, no, never, never, never. That's what Paul's saying. God forbid. Now watch this. The Bible said here in verse number 16, know ye not to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. Verse 17, but God be thanked that ye were. I love that word were. That's my favorite word in that text. Past tense. What it used to be. Amen, Brother Anthony. That goes right along that song. Amen. Yeah, I was a beggar. Yeah, I was. Amen. But I met the King. He saved my soul. Watch this now. He said, you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Look at verse number 18. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Let me tell you who a miserable man is. Listen to me carefully. I'll tell you, the most miserable man in Kingsport is not the drunkard. The most miserable man in Kingsport is not the prostitute. It's not the drug addict. I'll tell you who the most miserable man in Kingsport is, or the most miserable woman in Kingsport is. They've not been made free from sin, but they're trying to be a servant of righteousness. You see, we first must be made free from sin. We must be born again. That's what Jesus is talking about. Amen. Listen, we get the cart before the horse. We're trying to please God. But if you'll go into Romans chapter 8, I did this afternoon, all the way into 7 and 8. The Bible said they that are in the flesh cannot please God. They can't do it. Can't do it. Being made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Verse 20, for when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. You see it? If you're a servant of righteousness, you're free from sin. But if you're a servant of sin, you're free from righteousness. We can't have it both ways. I love the grace of God. I love the mercy of God. I love to talk about the love of God. Greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. Amen. Let me tell you something right now. I believe we're living in a generation like no other generation that is abusing the grace of God. And let me give you this, just a couple more verses and we'll get into the message. You say, what have you been doing? I'm trying to give you an introduction. Look here in verse number 22. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, he said, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. You say, preacher, what are you getting at in these verses? I'm going to get down to a little, kind of breaking it down in just a minute, just a little bit. I'm about done. It won't take long. You've heard that before, but it won't take long. Watch this. You know what I believe? I believe there are people that don't have much fruit unto holiness or not any fruit unto holiness. The reason is because they've not been made free from sin. The Bible is teaching here that it's just, It's the thing that it's the order when we're made free from sin. Watch this now. We become servants unto God. Listen to me carefully. Don't fall out with me right here. But I'm telling you right now, I believe when God saves a man, God saves a woman, He has a purpose in mind for their life. He don't want them to sit around till Jesus comes. He wants them to be a servant of the Most High God. I don't know if it's in the nursery. I don't know if it's in the children's ministry. I don't know if it's in Sunday school. I don't know if it's, my friend, in the ministry of getting out things to people that are in need. I don't know what it is, but I do know that God has something for every one of us to do. A prayer ministry. Sometimes people look at old people and say, well, what can they do? You'd be surprised what they're doing. Sometimes the Lord blesses us with a wonderful service. Somebody thinks, boy, the preacher really had it today. We get to the judgment seat of Christ, we'll find out who's responsible. Amen. Watch this now in Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Seems a little bit, it just struck me as a little bit odd that you would come and magnify in chapter 3, chapter 4, Abraham, it was counted unto him for righteousness. He believed God, it was counted. Look here in chapter number 5. Turn back here just a minute. Look at these verses. Therefore, being justified by faith, verse 1, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that a wonderful verse? By whom we have access by faith in the grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only, oh, but we glory, not only so, but we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience hope. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The Bible said in verse 8, but God commendeth this love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I'm just telling you, these are wonderful truths in the Word of God, that just as sure as chapter 5 is truth, chapter 6 is truth as well. It struck me as odd that you would come out of these chapters that talk about the free gift of grace and salvation by grace, and the first thing you need to address is sin. If I understand anything about that Bible and about human beings and our Lord, if I understand anything at all about it, that's something that's going to be needed to be addressed in my life and in your life until we get home to glory. That's why the Bible, Paul said like this. He said, I die daily. We're going to live for ourselves, live for sin, live for Satan, or we're going to live for the Savior. If we're going to live for the Savior, then we must address the sin issue. The sin issue. We must come to a place where we stop accusing and stop excusing. In chapter 3 through chapter number 5, I'll give you this. You see the redemption of the sinner by the grace of God. In chapter 6 through chapter number 8, I don't know if God's going to let me preach. I hope He will let me preach chapter 7, chapter 8 too, while we're at it in this. Amen. But what do you see in these chapters? After you see that the sinner has been redeemed, you see the redemption of the sinner, we see what not many people want to hear in this generation. I am not fussing at you. I'm telling you, myself included, we don't want to hear about the responsibility of the saints after that we've experienced the redemption of the Savior. We have a responsibility, but we don't want to hear about it sometimes. Amen. We want to coddle the flesh and pet the flesh. Let me tell you something about the flesh. It's a rattlesnake. It'll bite you. It'll bite preacher. Amen. Isn't it something? Can I tell you tonight that God wants to destroy, my friend, the devil, and He will one day after a while? Is that right? But can I tell you in the meantime what the devil wants to destroy? Your home. My home. your testimony and my testimony. I love saying these two words right here, our church. He wants to destroy us, amen. And you say, preacher, what kind of tools does he have in his box? You know, it really doesn't matter. You could go back here in the box. We got a little box started, ain't Brother Gary? We got screwdrivers in there, some pliers in there. I reckon we do, amen. Amen. Tools around here have a way of taking wings and flying away. Amen. Amen. Them's God's tools. Amen. Amen. I'm just kidding. Sister Helen knows what I'm talking about. You back there, sister. Amen. Amen. You say, preacher, what kind of tools has the devil got in his box? He got all kinds. But you know, if you go back there, if I tell Brother Gary, go get me a pair of pliers, brother, would you? He's going after a pair of pliers. If I ask him to get me a Phillips screwdriver, he's going to go get me a Phillips screwdriver. But you see, the tools in the devil's toolbox, God just gave me this, by the way. I'm giving it to you. It don't matter if you pull out envy. It don't matter if you pull out strife. It don't matter if you pull out lust. It don't matter if you pull out greed. You could wrap all his tools up in one little word. Sin. S-I-N. Somebody said the middle letter in sin is I. The middle letter in pride is I. And it'll destroy us. So is it any wonder that the Apostle Paul, after magnifying the grace of God, comes along and says, listen, y'all have a responsibility in this matter now. Your sins have been nailed to the cross at Calvary. God has wiped the slate clean in your life. Now be careful about this little matter of S-I-N, sin. Let me give you something here tonight. Just a couple things real quickly. And the responsibility of the saints in grace. You have two questions. I talked about that a little bit a while ago. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Verse number 15, what shall we say then? Because we're not under the law but under grace. He said, what? Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? He said, God forbid. How is it that we can live in victory over sin? By the way, I'm just going to give you these whole three chapters wrapped up in just a statement right here. This is something I've learned. You want to know why preacher sins? I'm going to give you something. I've learned this. And listen, if you'll study it, you'll learn it too. You want to know why I sin? You want to know why you sin? Because I want to and because you want to. You say, preacher, you have lost your mind. No, I haven't. You read that Bible. We are dead to sin, amen? And the only reason, my friend, that we could ever sin after we've been to Calvary is because we wanted to. We no longer were in that nature where we had to. He delivered us and doth deliver and will yet deliver. That's strong, isn't it? God's people sin because they want to. Well, you tell me why you sin if it ain't because you want to. Tell me why you don't read your Bible when you ought to know you ought to read your Bible. It's because you want to do something else worse than read your Bible. Tell me why you don't pray, amen, when you know you ought to pray. It's because there's something else more important than praying. Tell me why you're not in the house of God, amen. Now, listen, this is the cream of the crop tonight. But tell me why we miss church. We choose to. Ain't no devil come along. Ain't none of us. Might not be good English, but it's good preaching. None of us could ever say the devil made me do this or the devil made me do that. You say, you got Bible? Here it is. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will also with the temptation make us a way of escape that you'll be able to bear it. It's up to you and I. We have a responsibility to take the off ramp when it comes to sin. I'm going to tell you something right now. There ain't many churches to be sitting still as long as y'all have done sit still tonight. But God's helping me. He's running me out of excuses. Brother Lance, you're nodding your head up and down. That's helping me. Somebody agrees with me. Somebody, my friend, is out of ground too. Amen. We have no excuse after that we've been born again. We have no excuse. My precious baby girl back there that the Lord saved. I don't know what she's going to do in her life. My prayer is that she'll serve God the rest of her days. But I just want to say tonight, if she was to ever go back, she's without excuse. She has everything she needs to make it. And her daddy has everything he needs to make it. You didn't get saved in installments. God gave you the Holy Ghost. Amen. He gave you eternal life. He gave me eternal life. And he gave us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You go up there, Brother Brian, where's he at? Is he gone? Amen. Rapture take place? Amen. Amen. Brother Brian, talking about Sunday, the Bible school. Talking about David. Won't that last lesson will be about David. You go to interview David tonight, David. Why'd you do that, son? When you looked and you got that glance down there like that, why did you keep looking? And when that servant came to you and said, is not this, by the way, I believe this was God's way of escape right here. Is not this Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? I believe God was giving him a way out. Let's back up right here. Let's stop this thing. How many believes God's good and he does that for us? Amen. We'd be headed headlong in the wrong direction. God will give us a way of escape. Watch this. I believe you could talk to David tonight and say, David, what would possess a man? Why in the world did you do that? If he was honest, he'd say, because I wanted to. You know what I believe God wants us to do? I didn't say you, us. I believe he wants us to get honest and stop petting some things that don't need to be petted. And realize that through the power of the cross and through the blood, I'm telling you, in our Baptist churches, listen, this preacher loves to hear songs about the blood. I love to preach about the blood. I love that song, One Dark Night in Egypt. Amen. I love to sing about the blood. I love to magnify the blood. But I'm going to tell you something right now. We're never to use that as an excuse to live how we want to live. Watch this, couple things here quickly. There's three key words in this chapter that will help us. What time is it? You are kidding me. All right. Three key words in this chapter. Three key words. The first word is the word know. And it's also used as knowing. Some people don't know. You want to know the bad thing about being in this service tonight? Now you know. Now we're accountable. Preacher knows. You see, what's the Bible say about the word know? Look in verse number 3. He said, know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? I'm not here to argue whether that's talking about water baptism or spirit baptism into the body of Christ. It doesn't make any difference. I'm not here to argue that point. The point is, either way, it's talking about somebody that is in Christ. Don't you know? Paul's saying, don't you know that when you're in Christ, you're dead to sin? Watch this now. He said in verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth you should not serve sin. How many likes that verse of scripture over there in Philippians? But my God shall provide all of your... Wait a minute now. I'm missing it. So supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's it, isn't it? But my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I'm going to tell you something right now. Lots of times we only associate that with the bills or money or a car or a way to get to school or an education. But I'm going to tell you something right now. What we need in this generation more than anything is revival. And we'll never have revival until we get serious about sin. Never. Never have revival until we get serious about sin. Have you ever caught yourself? I have. There are some in this room that don't have a TV. I didn't for years. Sometimes I wonder if I wouldn't be better off without it. God's been dealing with me about just disciplining myself away from it. But have you ever caught yourself laughing at sin? How many knows what I just said? I mean literally laughing at sin. Have you ever caught yourself? I'm admitting it. That's what that whole thing is about, to desensitize us to what sin is. If we were to get sensitive about sin, I believe God could really, 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 really move in our midst. I mean, He is moving in our midst, and I thank God for that. But I think we've just touched the tip of the iceberg as to what God wants to do in our church, in our families, in our homes. Listen here tonight. There's the word know, the word knowing. In verse number 9, he said, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. And then he said in verse 16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are. To whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. You know what Paul's doing? He's coming along and he's saying, okay, you're in the grace of God. You're in the Lord Jesus. You've been baptized into his death. You're raised to walk in the newness of life. Now you have some responsibility in this matter. You have some responsibility, and I have some responsibility. Does anybody in this church have a weakness besides me? Or maybe more than one? Does anybody have a weakness? Come on, put your hand up there. You got one? Well, sure we do, if we'd be honest. Sure we do. But watch this. What's that mean, preacher? What's this responsibility? Well, if my weakness was alcohol, I believe the bar is the place I'd want to stay away from. Amen. I'm telling you, anybody that's been in the pill business or the marijuana business or the drinking business or the whoring around business, they all know where the business takes place. But when God saves us, what He's saying is you stay away. Don't make provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Knowing. That's the first word. I'm about done. The second word is the word reckon. Reckon. The Bible said in verse number 11, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I learned this now. I get excited when the Lord teaches me things. But reckon is an accounting term. It's talking about add it up. And what God is saying, listen, is it adds up that if a person has come to Christ and a person has been saved by the grace of God, that person will go on and serve the Lord. Old timers used to call it perseverance. They're going on for God. Amen. Well, let me just say this. I'm gonna flip that coin over here just a minute. If that word reckon talks about adding up, here's the way God spoke to my heart about it when I was looking at it this afternoon. When a person says they've been saved by the grace of God, maybe they've been baptized, maybe they haven't been baptized, but they go back and they live just like anything, nothing has ever happened in their life. Let me just tell you something right now. It does not add up. Even in Common Core, that wouldn't add up. I hope I didn't hurt anybody's feelings, but teaching a bunch of youngins that 2 + 2, it don't matter if it's 4. It just matters how you got there. It's a wrong answer either way. Amen. If 2 + 2 is not 4, it don't matter how you got there. Amen. We're living in a generation that don't want any absolutes. The Bible is absolute. What God said about sin, He absolutely meant it. Over there, the book of Proverbs, can a man take fire into his bosom and not be burned? I hit my hand the other day. Brother John, I was working in the shop and hit my hand on the back door going to the shop and busted it open on the back. Amen. Not at the shop, on the house door. I thought I've worked up here and I haven't got cut. I'm doing good. Busted myself open on the way up there. Let me tell you something right now. If you take this and pull that scab off and put it in there, it's going to burn. Let me tell you something about sin. You play with it. Preacher plays with it. It's going to burn. That's what God is saying. It'll burn you. It'll burn you. It'll burn me. It'll burn our church. It'll burn our families. I just thank God for the day that sin will burn in hell forever and ever. Reckon, an accounting term. The last word is this, and I'm done. Yield. If we're going to win over sin, the responsibility of the saints is to know. You say, well, preacher, I just didn't know that was in the Bible. We have a responsibility to read the Bible, study the Bible as children of God. Our responsibility is to know. Our responsibility is to reckon. And then watch this, and I'm done. Our responsibility is to yield. Look at Romans 12 and verse or 6 and verse number 12. The word yield is not in this verse, but God led me to use it. He said, let not sin therefore reign. Well, when you let not sin therefore reign, you're yielding. Not to sin, but to the Savior. Look at verse number 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. Verse 19. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded, that's past, your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Stay with me for just a minute and I'll quit. Who's Paul writing to? The church at Rome. Now we know it's for all of us. We know that, but he's writing to the church at Rome. How many of y'all know that there was a whole bunch of wickedness going on at Rome? How many of y'all know there's a whole bunch of wickedness going on in Kingsport? Jesus didn't say that he wanted us to be kept from the evil in such a way. He wanted us left here, but he said keep them from the evil. In other words, he can't do that altogether. He'd have to take us out. Amen. But the word is yield. Yield. You come down the road, you see one of those. Which way is it, Brother Randy? Is it square on top like that, I think, isn't it? Yellow. Yield sign. Right? Is it red? I thought it was yellow. Don't ask a colorblind preacher what color the sign is. Amen. Red, okay, red sign, yield. And what that means is, it is your responsibility, if somebody is coming the other way, to give them the right of way. If nobody's coming, head on out. Is that right? Is that what that yield sign means? Well, let me say this to you tonight. Here's what we need to start practicing. I didn't say you, I said we. When the Holy Spirit of God nudges and directs, yield. 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 Years ago, I didn't plan on saying this, but I thought it was kind of funny. There was a wreck as a result of somebody not following that yield sign. And the man got out of the car and he was kind of aggravated about it. So he said to the woman, or maybe it was the other way around. Maybe the woman said to the man, you'll get that after a while. Worst mistake Paul ever made is in Acts chapter 27 when he let her drive. You'll get that after a while. Amen. But listen. He said, I got to tell it that way. That's the way it's coming out. He said, woman, didn't you see that yield sign? She said, well, I yield as loud as I could. I'll tell you something right now. We, as a church, two things. If we'd be sensitive to sin and sensitive to the Spirit of God and yield. How many believes that David had it to do over again when that servant said, "Is not this Bathsheba the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" How many believes if he had it to do over again right there, he would have followed that yield sign, stop sign, whatever sign God was given him, amen. He wouldn't have carried that out. I believe with all my heart tonight, we're picturing baptism today, buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection to walk in the newness of life. I don't know about you. I heard a song years ago. It talked about the old man is dead. How many's heard that song? The old man is dead. According to the Bible, we have a responsibility in that, and that's to reckon. Add it up. That's the way it should be. Amen. There's an old man, there's a new man. Before, there was just an old man, and the old man could not win over sin. But now there's a new man in Christ that very well can win over sin. I'm just glad you come tonight. I appreciate your prayers. Let's bow for a word of prayer tonight. Father in heaven, thank you tonight for the privilege to be in the house of God. Help us to know. Help us to reckon. Help us to yield. Lord, I'm sure that there were people at Rome when they heard Paul's message that took it to heart. Probably, Lord, there were some that just blew it off and said, "Well, grace of God will take care of us." Lord, I pray tonight, oh God, that we wouldn't look lightly upon sin. Lord, you said in the Bible that fools make a mock at sin. Oh God, it's being presented more and more in our generation that sin is acceptable. Lord, in some circles it may be, but Lord, with a holy God, it never has been and never will be acceptable. Help us tonight, our Father. Lord, I love our people. And God, I believe they love you. Lord, it may be something that in the eyes of man is little. But Lord, if it's wrong, it's wrong. And if it's sin, it's sin. Lord, it is the little foxes that spoil the vine. God, I believe it's entirely possible for you to have our church in a state of revival when Brother Jones gets here. That, Lord, he wouldn't have to preach all week just to get us warmed up. But, God, that we'd be ready. We'd be obedient. We would forsake that we know is wrong and follow thee. I pray, God, tonight, help your children.